This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor Gaius, and I welcome Dramaticus Michael Vlahos. We are at the Thames. We are relaxing, theater later, and 2,000 years from now, it is remarkable how close 2,000 years can feel sometimes. Were you aware that when Octavian marched on Alexandria to defeat Antony, King Herod rode beside him, had brought 15,000 talents of gold to please Octavian? It weighed tons. Herod, you can go to Jerusalem now and see Herod's building everywhere, not just the Second Temple torn down, but all of the buildings around the Western Wall. That's Herod. Amazing architecture throughout the country. That's Herod. Octavian chose to leave him in place. So 2,000 years is as close as Herod, is as close as your visit to Jerusalem. That's how tight it is. And Germanicus and I are at 90 AD, looking in the 21st century. And it's not far from our lessons in the first century AD, thanks to the divine Augustus. Germanicus, here we have a battle in Ukraine going on for some time, an artillery exchange, what appears to be a stalemate, not unlike Belgium, 1915 to 1918. And then a breakthrough. And the celebration in Kyiv, in Berlin, in London, in New York, and the headlines is this: could this be the moment when the Russians are rolled back to their own territory? Could this be the defeat of the Russian army? Now, if it is a stalemate like Belgium, or like the war developed into in the Western Front, 1915 to 1918, there are moments when there will be breakthroughs. Right now, the most significant fact that we have is this fog of war, is that Izium, the railhead, is said to be in Ukrainian control. The Russian response so far, fog of war, is to turn the lights off in Kharkiv and other cities, perhaps touching all the way to the Dnieper River Valley. At the same time, we're told that the Ukrainians, having reached Izium and pushing on to another river where the Russians are throwing up a defensive line, have outrun the coverage of their artillery. This immediately reminded me of the First War. So Germanicus, when a breakthrough would outrun artillery cover, and therefore there was no following up on the assault. How many times in the next 2,000 years, Thaddeus, will generals complain, if they'd only given me more at that moment, I could have gone all the way to fill in the capital of the enemy. So right now, what do you see about this battlefield situation? Have the Ukrainians broken the stalemate, or are we looking at a reproduction of the hopes of the Great War, 1914 to 1918? Good evening to you, Germanicus.
Good evening, Gaius. The war across a front that's actually longer than the Western Front was in World War I has many similar dynamics. And Ukraine has focused its energy on its manpower so that it can concentrate its amazing manpower resources, which may be as many as, say, a million men, so that it can use that manpower to try and overwhelm Russian defenses along this long frontier or defended line so that it can overwhelm it at specific points. It tried that at Kherson, and that failed, and thousands of casualties were consumed and expended, and that offensive failed. Another offensive in Zaporozhye failed, and a third offensive in the arena of the Northern Front near Kharkiv and the town of, or city of Izium, was successful. But the fact is that this offensive, for all of its success, was in many ways a portrait of the thinness of Russian manpower, of Russian forces along the front. So an amazing concentration of Ukrainian forces was able to punch through. And yet the Russian situation was not disposed to try and hold this area. And in fact, with very little fighting, it withdrew and conceded the terrain to Ukrainian forces, without, however, withholding on its counterattack. And thousands of Ukrainians were killed and wounded in this offensive. And in fact, you know, if you take the last 11 days, it amounts to 35,000 killed and wounded Ukrainians. And yet, Ukrainian morale being high, this is an acceptable cost for regaining territory. And yet this all is suggestive of what a weaker force would do in a hardened extended front situation, much like what faced the Germans, who had to deal with France and Britain and Belgium and a much larger force. And so when the Germans withdrew in 1917 to the Hindenburg line, it caught the Allies off guard. And I think this was, in fact, what was going on when the Russians withdrew. And it saved the Germans many, many divisions by shortening the front. But for the Russians today, their willingness to withdraw quite early without really putting up a heavy resistance suggests that Russia is quite aware that this third offensive was meant to pin down Russian forces, and that, frankly, there's a fourth offensive in the area south, where an offensive could strike toward Mariupol and Volnovakha and essentially end the war. So,
Germanicus, I want to remember that Russian doctrine is different than German doctrine. The Germans in the First War and in the Second War, textbook, every time there was an attack, they launched an immediate counterattack. The Russians don't do that. That's not their style. They fall back, as you say. They take heavy casualties. They fall back. And then they develop shock armies at some point. The puzzle for me for some time now has been, why are the Russians not using their shock army stats? But you indicate that the Russian line is thin all along the front line, and that they've been vulnerable to these breakthroughs all the time. Now, if it is the First War, and we go back and forth, First War, Second War, Russo-Japanese War, if it is the First War, the Ukrainians did not come with adequate forces to follow up on their breakthrough. Do you agree, Germanicus?
Yes, and they've been fixed and held. So after giving up some ground, what Russia is doing, I think, is moving its forces to the point of decision, which is in the south.
Right.
And they have a large group of forces. And yet, of course, given the Hollywood theatrical nature of how we view war in America,
right,
we see that as a great defeat. And yet, it's not a defeat.
All right,
it's
Germanicus, I want to entertain something else besides the battlefield. When we come back, I want to entertain this idea that if only Putin would leave. I want to entertain it just momentarily, just a few minutes. If only Putin would leave, because we know here in the first century AD, losing a strong man, a king, a dictator, does not lead to peace. Germanicus is Michael Vlahos. I am Gaius, John Batzler. We're in Londinium. It's 90 AD, observing the fog of war in Ukraine. Is it the first war? Is it the second war? Is it the Russo-Japanese war? Is it the War of 1812? Russia's been involved in all those wars, and Russia took huge casualties, met defeat after defeat, and yet it's still Russia. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batzler.